Okay, time to get started. Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. Now the presenter, so Pretty, got into the emergency room last night, so I got a text message this morning saying that I had to present on behalf of her. So, well, I'll try to do a good job here, but I guess the purpose here is really to get some of the feedback. Close the door a little bit. Sorry. So hopefully I can bring some messages to her in terms of the comments. So I think that's my purpose here, rather than going into all the details about every single slide. Okay. Oh, who am I? My name is Xin Zhao. My colleague Carlin Chase, who is actually the lead PI on this big project focused on organic strawberry production funded by USDA OREI. I work in the Horticulture Science Department here in Gainesville. Okay, thank you for reminding me. Strawberry production in Florida. We're the second largest strawberry producing state in the U.S. This is from some of the most recent data in terms of strawberry production for conventional and also for organic. And actually, I looked up the most recently released organic survey results from USDA last month. And it's actually encouraging to see the organic strawberry acreage increase a little bit in Florida. I think it's about 2% now. But California is really increasing pretty fast for the last year for organic strawberry acreage. So weeds and disease and pest problems, as well as nutrient availability, really represent the major challenges for organic strawberry production. And particularly considering the conditions in Florida here, some of you know, may well know that we have very sandy soils here in Florida, and also the warm temperature, the rainy conditions, the moist conditions really create a number of challenges for disease and weed management, as well as nutrient management for organic production, and in this case for strawberries. So Phytophthora root and crown rot is another soil-borne disease problem commonly occurring in organic strawberry production systems here in Florida. This is actually a picture of infected plants in our trial I'm going to present today. So we have two major objectives for this particular study. And by the way, I'm just going to present really some of the preliminary findings from our first year, which the trial was conducted last year. So we're trying to look at the entire production systems by actually including different types of cover crops. So basically, in Florida here, growers grow cover crops in the summertime prior to fall planting of strawberries. And then we want to evaluate different types of strawberry cultivars to see how they actually perform in different types of systems involving different types of summer cover crops. Okay, so the trial was conducted in Central Florida at the University of Florida Plant Science Research and Education Unit, and it's in the certified organic field. And we used split plot design. The main plot factor is the cover crop, and the subplot factor is the cultivar. So some of the information there regarding the cover crop planting date, transplanting date of strawberries, as well as the harvest during the season. So we got three cover crop treatments here, including another weedy fallow control. The first one is the sun hemp, particularly using this tropic sun cultivar and hair indigo. And then the other one is actually a four-way mixture, and we actually included another cultivar, AU Golden, one of the most recently released sun hemp cultivar, but not tropic sun. I think Dr. Chase has a poster talk more about the mixtures. Okay, so the treatments here in terms of cultivars, we're trying to include all the most commonly used strawberry and cultivars released by the UF breeding program. So Strawberry Festival is really, to me, it's a long-standing strawberry cultivar here, although it's kind of being replaced by the newer cultivars now being less and less produced or used. Florida Radiance, which is really the standard right now for the conventional industry, and the Sensation released just a few years ago, and also Winter Star, another relatively new cultivar, but older than Sensation. And Sensation and Winter Star, they're known for their earliness, also Sensation very well known for the good eating quality as well as larger food size. We use tray or containerized transplants for this particular study, and some information there in terms of the bed dimensions as well as plant spacing that we used. So we collected the yield data, and we also measured some of the growth parameters and assessed some of the basic quality attributes of the fruit, for example, titratable acidity, soluble solids, and pH. So I'm going to present the results now. So if you looked at the marketable and call and total fruit yield among different cultivars and also among different cover crop treatments here, and you see that except for one place here, which is the marketable fruit number per hectare, we're seeing significant interactions between cover crops and cultivars. Other than that, we're not really seeing the cover crop effect or the interaction effect between cover crop treatments as well and the cultivars. However, we are seeing the cultivar effect standing out here. Just to point out, for example, marketable fruit number and marketable fruit yield, you could see that Radiance is really behind compared to other cultivars. And Festival, again, as a standard cultivar, older one, actually performed pretty well if you look at the number of fruit as well as the fruit yield. And then Winter Star and Sensation also perform equally well. And also, interestingly, you can see Winter Star, regardless of its higher yield, it actually also produced higher unmarketable fruit weight as well as number. Of course, you see the higher unmarketable fruit number in Festival as well. And for Festival, primarily contributed to the or attributed to the smaller size of the fruit. We're seeing some similar trends here in terms of total fruit, which is the sum of marketable and unmarketable fruit. So some examples here in terms of the cause of the cow fruit due to small deformed fruit as well as disease infection here. So this is also a breakdown of different categories of the cow fruit yield. So just to give you more ideas, I already mentioned that Festival tend to have more small and deformed fruit. And then Winter Star actually got more affected due to disease problems and other pest issues. This is the average fruit weight. So basically, it's a reflection of the fruit size. As I told you earlier, Sensation is really known for its larger size. And I actually learned this interestingly because there is a great benefit in terms of making the strawberry fruit bigger, because then you don't need to pick as many to actually fill the clamshell, which is actually interesting to me because that actually has another cost indication or consideration there as well. So again, Sensation in our organic trials here also stood out in terms of the average fruit size compared to other cultivars, and Festival again showed the smallest fruit. So this is the relative chlorophyll content index ratings of different cultivars. Again, we're now seeing cover crop effect or the cover crop by main effect or cover crop by cultivar interaction effects here. And there are some differences over different months in terms of the SPAT ratings here among different cultivars. And this is the diameter of the crowns of different cultivars. Again, we're now seeing the cover crop effect or the cover crop by cultivar interaction effect. So basically, the cultivar effect outweighed the cover crop effects here. And then you're seeing differences here, again, among cultivars. And Winter Star tend to stand out in terms of the crown size. And this is the leaf number of different cultivars, again, now showing the cover crop or the cover crop by cultivar interaction effects here. But there are some significant effects among cultivars, especially after January. And this is the canopy size, seeing something, again, caused by cultivar differences there, not by cover crops. This is the food quality assessment, presenting to you the titratable acidity, pH, and total soluble solids. And we actually did not see any differences here among cultivars or among the cover crop treatments. Okay, so just load it with some of the results there. And now, just to summarize, in terms of the results, again, we're seeing greater results due to strawberry cultivars, but not due to the cover crops or the cover crop by cultivar interactions here. And winter stars seem to have more disease problems, and festival, again, in the organic production situation, actually give a lot of smaller fruit and eventually considered as unmarketable. And winter star sensation actually stood out as a good cultivar, well adapted, and radiance actually had some problems and did not really give us very good performance. We actually had some disease problems early on, particularly with Phytophthora that I showed you the picture, that I think that was the radiance plot. So the fruit quality assessment did not really show any significant differences among different cultivars or among different cover crop treatments. So some of the plant growth parameters showed responses to different cultivars. So again, there are some varietal differences. But again, we were surprised not to see any cover crop by cultivar interaction effects there. So really, we're presenting to you the preliminary results from our one-year study here. And we're in the process of starting our second-year trial. And but we believe this preliminary set of results here actually gave us some good ideas in terms of cultivar selection and adaptation to the organic systems, and also making us wonder whether there would be any long-term effects of the cover crops in the organic system. So we are actually going back to exactly the same plot. So we're going to monitor, again, we're not changing randomization in the field. So we're going to monitor basically the performance of the crop back to the same plot using the same type of cover crop treatments this particular season. And with that, I'd like to thank the funding source and Zach and Dustin for their technical support. And I might have a few minutes for questions. Thank you. Either way.
So cover crops are required to be certified organic, so they must be used in this system. So I would encourage you guys to look at soil quality effects, because I think that's the main impact on cover crops on your farm.
I think Dr. Chase may have some comments, but we are monitoring that. Especially for longer term to see, because it's hard in our sandy soil there to actually show yearly effect. I'm not sure, but we're definitely monitoring the soil quality and soil health. Karin, you want to comment?
Yes. So we are doing the cover crop treatment in the exact same main plot over the 3 years, and we are, you've seen our beach is almost 100% sand, less than 0.5%.
Citra has more than
organic matter. So we have not seen any changes within this first year, but we will be monitoring across the 3 years. And because we're studying at such a low level, we expect that the third year to see some incremental differences in soil health.
Hopefully.
What are the strawberry growing practices in terms of rotating crop year to year? Like, does having strawberries in the same plot year after year affect disease problems?
You're referring to conventional or organic system?
Both.
Oh, both. Okay. So I would say that, again, any of you can comment. I would say that organic growers probably pay more attention to crop rotation, and they may have a more diverse or more diverse crop rotation systems compared to the conventional growers. And conventional system, basically in Florida here, actually we're in the center of strawberry production, basically near Tampa and Plant City area. So they typically grow sand hemp, for example, as a commonly grown cover crop in the summertime and prior to the fall planting of strawberry. And then they will finish the strawberry season somewhere, probably depending upon the market, by the way. If the price stays high, then they will continue to harvest. Then if it's low, then they stop. So somewhere between February and March, I would say, it's a wide window, depending upon the market. And then they may actually come in with a short cucurbit or solanaceous, for example, eggplant or cucumber. Pepper or cucumber or melon or even watermelon. And then they will finish that, and then they will start planting the summer cover crop somewhere maybe June or July, really depending upon which crop they rotate with the strawberry. And then they will terminate the sun hemp, in this case cover crop, and then be preparing the field and then get ready for the fall. And then they will start again. So that's the conventional system here that I have seen.
Okay.